Hello again.
Hi.
Hi, I hope you enjoyed the episode 34 of the Ken Shue Show, in which me and Ken wrestled with our
guilt.
Obsequious guilt and what it's like to be a cishet white man in this crazy, crazy world of cancel culture.
It's so crazy, yeah. I don't even know where to start.
Yeah, I mean, every day we couple, we're just like, what are we supposed to
what
do?
What are we going to do?
I hope we don't say the wrong thing.
So we decided that the safest way to avoid it is just to talk about Ghostbusters.
Yeah. Instead of me waking up and just like getting out onto my back garden and getting a megaphone and just screaming racial slurs into it, which is what I would normally do.
I've saved him today.
Yeah,
from doing that. I can't guarantee it won't happen tomorrow.
Gook. We'll leave that. What we're doing today is, if you remember a while back, we did a commentary for Avengers Assemble.
Or The Avengers, as it's known.
Stupidly known.
And
we decided for a second foray into the world of full movie audio commentary, we thought probably best to go for something that we're both very familiar with, for obvious reasons.
And both very positive about.
Very positive about. So we went for the old Ghostbusters, which regular listeners will know that we are tediously obsessed with. and of course, with Frozen Empire coming out, there's a bit of timeliness going on there as well.
Yeah, I think it'd be good to look at this and determine like why this works, which will highlight all the reasons why Afterlife doesn't.
Yeah,
basically.
We'll see what happens. I mean,
yeah, by proxy.
In the interest of full disclosure, I feel slightly antsy, but I'm not really sure why. I think it'll be fine. I think I'm just, because I like this film so much, I'm trying to live up to the expectation that the commentary will be worthwhile.
5 minutes in, when we start unpacking it, you realise actually it's shit.
Yeah. I'll be like me and my friend Mark when we watched the Casino Royale in a heightened state, we realised that it was bollocks. Like, this is rubbish.
Which would be interesting if you go back to it now sober.
I think I would like it
and
again,
go.
Yeah.
No, actually, I was wrong. The funniest thing
for me. In fact, I'm going to play this back because it was really funny. This is worth it. I promise you. So like, I'm joking around with my friend Mark about the scene, you know, where James Bond is in the torture chair.
Yeah.
And they're swinging that sort of length of rope around and twatting him in the bollocks with it over and over again.
Yeah.
You know, when you're in a sort of heightened state, it's very, very funny.
Yeah.
Just to think about that. And I messaged my friend Danny Curtins about it, just telling him what movie we were watching, and this is what he came back with immediately. It's one of those moments that we've had where the wavelength is the same.
Is it okay?
Yeah.
If you boys hold on for a while, there's a scene where James Bond sits in a chair that's had like the bottom cut of it and his balls hang down, and his enemy is hitting his balls repeatedly with a large knotted piece of rope, swinging it very heavily at James Bond's balls, definitely causing lifelong damage to his balls. And they probably would have had to have been removed after this. I think it's worth hanging on to see James Bond get permanently disabled in the balls.
Told you.
Okay, see, it's the repetition of balls in that very specific, like, the same tone of voice, like, each time he hits balls. That's funny.
He's a funny guy.
Yeah, that's a funny thing.
I just thought you might enjoy that.
That was very enjoyable.
That's not what we're talking about.
That's not what we're here for. No.
We're talking about, probably not that one, actually.
Okay.
We're talking about, Ghostbusters.
I don't know what you were going to say there. It is Ghostbusters.
James Boasters.
James.
Mate, remember Boasters, those biscuits?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, they were really good.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I'll take your word for it.
This is already a fucking shambles.
Absolute shit. Yeah.
But no, we're going to get started. Basically, we're going to... If you've got the movie queued up, our version of the movie is 1 hour, 45 minutes and 8 seconds. We're going to hit play and we'll talk over the movie. Try and give our thoughts. We're going to try and stay in like relatively professional.
It'd be good to comment on the movies.
It's a movie I love to death. It means a lot to me. As we discussed in a great deal in the podcast, I don't really hold it in the kind of... Like, the iconography of this movie is not stuff that I worship. You know, it's like, I just very much enjoy it, and I don't really understand why Afterlife has taken the tack that it has. But whatever, we're about to see it again. It's been a little while since I've seen it, so I'm quite excited.
Yeah.
And, you know, I could watch twice in a row and still enjoy it on the bounce, so a big deal.
I think it's packed with stuff to enjoy, so yeah, it's a good one.
So we're going to count down I'm going to count down 3, 2, 1, and then on the beat after the one, we're going to play the movie.
Okay.
And then you follow along with us if you want, or you could just listen to this by itself and it probably also work.
Or you could watch the movie without us.
Yeah, or, yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's probably the best.
that's the worst of worst worlds.
What is it?
Worth of both worlds.
The worth of both worlds. Yeah. anyway, yeah, so I'm going to count down now and we're going to get started. So that's 3, 2, 1, play.
Okay.
Our movie is now playing and we're looking at... There she is.
There she is. Yeah, the old Columbia
Pictures logo. Yeah. Yep. Beautiful.
Okay.
Not much to say about that.
No. there's not much to comment on.
I'm very fond of the Spider-Verse version where it flashes between the different
That's very cool.
I think they even included the Cloudy the Chance of Meatballs one on that. Is now a commentary for Spider-Verse. No, it's not.
That would be fun, though.
Yeah.
This is. This is supposed to be the museum, right?
I mean,
the library. It's the library.
It's
of course.
Already.
Well, I don't even know. This film. I've never seen it
before.
There's
Peter Venkman himself. that's a librarian.
You see, right? The interesting thing here.
Yeah.
I was thinking about this tonally. I think this is very. It's like a nudge below stuff like Poltergeist or Gremlins. It's like sort of kiddie friendly, but at the same time there are things in it that just are on that line of acceptability.
We have just missed it, but I really like the fact that the study hall has all those lampshades that almost look kind of terrorbozo, like ghostish.
It's
like,
right, yeah.
Like they're going to the imagery. This is not directed by a fucking idiot. Like, this is not a journeyman. This is a well-directed movie.
Yeah. That's it.
It's one of the most, like... It's an effects-heavy sort of 80s movie that still holds up.
Yeah.
It creates that sense of time. I mean, this is a tense sequence. Like, even though you've seen it a million times, it is kind of almost shot in a Shining-esque kind of
way. Well, I love the progression of how subtle that movement is of the book's going to then when you think about the ending.
Yes.
Like, the it's that sort of... the way they talk about, like, setting it on a ground level, like a relatable level, so that the horror like means something as it increases. Like, but you're not immediately starting with a Marshmallow Man.
Yeah,
you're starting with something very, very minimal.
Yeah.
To then you build it on a base of reality or a certain reality. To then when the wild stuff happens, you're in tune with it. You know, it's a steady progression. I do really appreciate that.
Yeah, I mean, there's not much else to say about this scene for me. I like the way that she ends up, like, the shelves become just a labyrinth, you know?
It's
because she's running into, like, everywhere she runs is the same.
It's done in that way that you almost think, like, is that how it actually looked before? Have they slightly twisted the environment to make it more...
Yeah.
You know, like, is the paranormal shape in the environment?
There's so much quick shots that we're missing them. It sounds like negative, but what I mean is it's passing very quickly. But in all those establishing shots, there's something odd. Like the opening, you know, the statue overseeing the pervert, like the whole the campus is foreboding. Even when they walk into the doors, there's these weird little gargoyles at the bottom of the
Which are just part of the natural architecture, stuff that you wouldn't see. It's that stuff you don't recognize if you're in New Yorker.
But it does all like subtly communicate like the slight wrongness.
Yeah, you know? It's an incredibly well structured and well thought out. As you say, it's not a journeyman film. No. It's not just like we're here for the comedy. They've actually given real thought to how they can evoke the horror of it as well, but without being full horror.
No, this is a sequence which we're not going to get into the wokeness thing again.
No.
I want to get out of the way, because people really have a problem with the idea of the fact that like movies are fake. this guy is a part character sort of archetype, you know. He's a likable character, and yes, he is a scumbag, but he's also, it's a comedy, and you just need to roll with it.
But it's interesting, this is an act that could mark the character as unlikable.
Yeah.
But I think it's down to the performance.
Yes, absolutely.
I think it is absolutely on Bill Murray that there is an inherent charm to it that makes it sort of not acceptable, but you can more embrace it, I think, despite its problematic sort of leanings. the whole thing, the guy getting shocked is just like always funny. I mean, the hair, like increasingly just bouffant as he keeps getting shocked is always funny.
It's just the idea of this. It's like sadism by boredom, like kind of.
Well, yeah,
that comes through really strong.
But it's also telling you something about the character because it's kind of, why is he a doctor? Like, why did he do the degree to get to this stage? Where like it's almost like he's holding his status in some sort of contempt.
Yeah.
Which again, it's character informed. It's not just a scene for being funny.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually saying something. And here's just like the energy has just completely changed as soon as he walks in the door.
There's I like the foreshadowing in this scene of with the laser light sign and the radioactive materials stuff and just like everything that's going to come into play later is little things like set. They give a fuck about the set dressing
and
the shows. Even like the poster on the wall of like the pig makes me think about the Keymaster stuff and the it's interesting.
It's like before you even meet any of them, the first thing, the first reference to any of them that you get is that sign saying Venkman burn in hell. Mm-hmm. Well, it's like that's it's a hell of a clue into what we're going to be carried with the rest of the film.
God, love Fat Aykroyd.
is in that one scene. You absolutely know who Ray is.
Yeah.
Like the childlike sort of enthusiasm over everything else. I mean, he clearly knows what he's talking about, but it's also just like, boom! This like immediate rush of high sugar like energy, which you really got a lot of in the 80s, and he just carries that so well. these guys, the way their performances, like the chemistry between them is really rich.
Yeah,
and this is a great introduction. As well. The sponges. I mean, and there that. Again,
the chemistry is instant. Like, it's you absolutely believe the history is great.
Yeah, there's the bit sort of following this where he hands him the chocolate bar. That's what I see a lot of films struggle with now. Which I don't know. It's a lot of it is to do with the high regard that I hold this in, but I think a lot of films now struggle to tell you a friendship between like people.
Well,
this gives a sense of implied history that you're not privy to because you're only seeing these characters at a certain point. But it, without heavy exposition, without dialogue saying, oh, we met at this point, you know, it's kind of like, there it is, that's a shared history that you're just not included in.
A lot of modern movies really struggle with platonic male friendship as well because it's either, like, genuinely abusive or very unconvincing, I find. It's interesting. That's so great. Back off, man. I'm a scientist. That's so good.
Yeah.
Sorry, a lot of this is going to be me just going, oh, that's great. Well, that's great. I just love the richness of the sets in this movie and the you can just feel the goddamn budget. Like, and that's a good thing. You know, they've really done the work here.
Yeah.
Even the way, like, the way that Venkman comes down the stairs there is so fucking well done.
It's kind of, like, but there's nothing excessive. Everything is to the service of something.
Yeah. I mean, Venkman is obviously he's kind of the layman character. Ray and Egon come down the stairs, the camera doesn't follow them.
It waits for Venkman,
because he's the POV character. This is not basic. This is well made.
No.
And I think it doesn't get enough respect for that.
But it is. That's an interesting point, actually. I wondered about that. It's like, okay, there's a purpose to Venkman coming last because he's the least interested. But I wondered if the camera waiting for him was a thing like we've got to wait for the three.
Yeah.
This is a group shot. It's not focused on any particular person. So that's you've read that in a slightly different way, but it's still essentially hinting at the same thing.
Yeah.
His cynicism is not wearying.
No.
It's actually it's quite inclusive.
He is cynical, but he's not obstructive. He does go along with this stuff. So
He does recognize that basically he's not in charge. I mean, it's kind of like he's not the leader.
The thing is, it's the distinction between like a character who's like, "This is stupid. Stop having fun," which is what I forget the name of the actor, but in the 2016 movie, the straight-laced one is very much the wrong type because she's
that's the one played by
Kristen Wiig, right?
No. yes
and I'm not attacking her as performance because it's not her problem, she's good in that role,
yeah,
but she is a buzzkill in that movie. She's like, stop doing this is stupid, yeah. Stop having fun,
yeah,
but Venkman is like, this is stupid, let's go and do it, which is a lot more and I'm not going to spend the time comparing the 2016
but
I do still like that movie.
His cynical nature, his skepticism is propulsive still. Yeah. You know, it still carries you forward to the next bit.
I think, oh wow, look at that. Still looks great.
Yeah, that's still, that holds up really well.
It's so eerie.
And you cannot, what I love about that, compare it to like if they did a CGI effect now, it's very difficult to see the joint.
Yeah.
You can't see where, you know.
That's a really great moment.
this is it. Now that is your biggest key in.
Yeah.
To like who these guys are, which will carry through the rest of the film. That basically, they are not prepared, and it is, you know, there are so many visual reference points for that,
yeah,
and so many great like little character moments and dialogue points that reference that. But without it being like, without it overburdening having fun with the film, it's just, what do we do? And then they just all look at each other. There's another great fight coming up in just a second.
I just love the moment of like one of us should talk to him, and then the two the really social, like, I don't like using this word, but it's the only one I can think of, the sort of autistic couple. That's true, right?
I mean
Dan Aykroyd literally is autistic, but like the character,
but an Egon is definitely on a spectrum.
They have those traits, and when they say one of, oh look at that, fantastic,
fucking brilliant,
one of us should, like, she becomes British for a second with those teeth,
yeah. That's Austin Powers basically,
yeah, but
look at them.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Dan Aykroyd's very funny run. Basically.
Yeah.
He knows.
Yeah.
He's a funny guy. You ever seen, not into it, but have you seen Spies Like Us?
No, I haven't seen that actually.
That's my next.
That's Chevy Chase, right?
Yeah. Well, I made a folder that is just all like those movies that I want to get around to, so I will. What I love about that whole thing is just the whole, someone needs to talk to him, and then the two who struggle to talk to anyone, looking at Pete. But Pete's reaction to me is not, I mean, he's clearly kind of like shook by it, you know. He's not completely deadpan, but it's interesting how you can sort of see the cogs turning.
Yeah. What's interesting is the, like, that moment, you'd think it's interesting the way the brilliant moment. Yeah,
that's, I like that you get the little just, bit of Ray laughing.
Yeah,
as well.
Yeah, and that's the great thing, because he's seen that before.
Yeah, that's what makes that. Yeah,
that's
yeah.
what makes it. It's like, there's the history of those guys together.
Yeah.
No, what's interesting is when it comes to those moments where, like, oh, somebody should do something.
Yeah.
It's not that it's always those two looking at Peter.
Yeah.
Within a different situation, you will get two singling one out to do something else.
I gotta say something that's occurred to me in this viewing. Egon's look, now is cool as fuck.
Yeah,
that maybe actually, then it was kind of a nerd look. But in now, looking at him, I'm thinking, this guy's got drip. He looks really cool.
I mean, there's definitely, that would be an appeal.
And you know, the deadpan nature of the performance really adds to that, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, he's the most cartoonish of the three, but it,
oh,
it
God,
makes
yeah.
sense. I mean, I know people like him, you know.
Yeah. But I think, like, in a way that they didn't with the others, when you get to the real Ghostbusters cartoon, his look is very close to how Ramus's look, whereas the other ones don't look like the guys. To the point where the real Ghostbusters was actually my key into this whole thing.
Yeah.
I got to this movie late after seeing the cartoon, and I was like,
me too. Yeah.
Why don't they look like the cartoon? That's weird.
Yeah, that didn't personally bother me at the time, but I didn't see the movie till after like the cartoon.
Mm.
Like, I definitely saw that. I don't remember when I saw the movie. I don't even think I was particularly young when I saw the movie. I think I would have been probably at least 15 or 16.
Oh, I think I was like 7, maybe. Yeah.
I might have done and forgotten. It's always possible, but it doesn't seem like the sort of thing that, like, basically, I didn't have much, like, this isn't getting into psychoanalysis, sorry, that's a, that'll probably come out, don't worry about that. I downloaded the Ghostbusters game and it just, like, finished everything.
Okay.
But to make the point, like, I didn't really have a huge amount of sort of autonomy in terms of, like, I was a little bit kind of like, I'll just do what my parents do and I'll just, like, go along with them
because I'm
a pussy.
Yeah.
And it took me a while to stop being like that and to develop sort of autonomy and entertainment and things like that, because until then I would just be like, I'll just watch whatever's there.
Yeah.
I think it was also because my brother was watching a lot of younger stuff as well.
Yeah.
But coming around to this, like, it was the cartoon plus the Spectrum game that I had, the ZX Spectrum game,
which is, by the way,
cack.
You know what, if you played
Firehouse,
if you played that, you'd be forgiven for, like, not taking on anything else Ghostbusters.
I played recently the Ghostbusters 2 game that everyone hates, and I had a fucking good time with it. Like,
which one's that?
You're at the bottom of your Peter, and you're going left and right shooting all this shit in the sewers. There's something chasing you. There's, like, a bat or something chasing you.
Is that the NES one?
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Oh, yeah, no, that one's hateful.
The second level. I actually kind of dug it.
Oh, man, it took me ages to get that. That was really difficult.
That scene is great. Just, he loves the pole.
Yeah.
I don't mean it in that sense.
Hey, Ray
loves
the pole.
Love him running full pelt up the stairs again. It's so good. It's the energy, you go to this place that's just a complete shithole. I mean, look at the set dressing again, though. All this
I know, it's incredible.
And, yeah, it's perfectly done.
But see, that's a very cliched moment now.
Yeah, it is.
And yet, the performance again makes it feel like you haven't seen that kind of thing before.
Ivan Reitman, director.
Yeah.
Right, he knows that Ramis looks fucking good in profile, and he's constantly putting him in profile.
Do you know?
Have you noticed?
Yeah. But what's interesting about this, if you think about what the films that Ivan Reitman did. Yeah. This is the only one really visually that I would say that stands out.
I mean, yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think. I mean, sorry, I know I'm being basic, but Back to the Future.
No, it was Robert Zemeckis.
Sorry, yes. Well, so what else did Reitman do again?
He did, like, Twins.
Oh, God.
He did...
Year One, didn't he?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I can't think off the top of my head now. I can't think of the other stuff he's done.
Like, because Twins is bollocks. Like, I mean,
it's fun, but it's nothing like this. Oh, man, yeah. His. I mean, the.
I love. Sorry to interrupt you. I just want to say it real quick before it's off the screen.
Yeah,
I love the fact that the way that he is framed is just this tiny.
Yeah.
Thing in grey. Like, this is boring guy.
Uh-huh.
So they make him really small.
Yeah.
And in a huge empty space to really play up this guy sucks. And but I like
Louis. But that makes it even funnier, later when, you know, he becomes the, which is he? The Keymaster.
Yeah.
It's like this absolutely insignificant guy takes on this huge thing. It's fucking fantastic. The surplus of comedic talent in this particular era is like huge. I mean,
just shut the door and it's so good.
That's like, I mean, how many times has she been harassed by this guy?
I mean, the only thing they do is I think that, like, they make it. I don't think
that's funny. That's a great repetition.
I don't think that he really, in my opinion, comes off as. I'm not that you're saying this, but, like. I don't think he comes off as, like, an actual sort of pest. He's just trying. He's like Flanders, you know.
Yeah, no, that's very true. He's not really harassing.
He's likable in his sort of desperation to please.
Like. Yeah, no, he's too beige. Like, yeah. He's completely non-threatening.
That's so good. I love
that's it. Funny. Yeah, I mean, that is cynical as fuck. And the fact that they're all on board with that is brilliant. This sequence is where. It really steps up. I mean, it's had its, you know, as you say, everything is designed very carefully.
Yeah.
But when she opens the fridge here, and you suddenly get a hint of what is to come. I think, like,
and then again, blatant foreshadowing.
Yeah, foreshadowing is fantastic. Yeah. And but that's the kind of thing, like, it's not an obvious clue.
No,
at that point, it doesn't tell you that that's where it's going to go. I guess
in a sense, like, that's, I'm thinking about this from maybe a a commercial perspective, but like, people would have seen the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man in the previews and things.
Yeah.
So you know, when you see that, you're like, oh yeah, that's coming.
In fact, did they show Stay Puft in the trailers?
Surely they must have. Like,
I'm not actually sure did.
Well, after this, I'm watching the trailers.
Yeah.
Maybe you're right. Maybe you're right.
I think they gave some sense, but I'm pretty sure they kept Stay Puft out of it.
Maybe. Oh wow, that's amazing.
That is just...
it's like something out of Hellraiser.
Well, but this is it. When I talk about craft,
yeah,
like, the amount of, like, creativeness that it took to pull off that shot when you couldn't just do it in a computer.
Mm.
When you had to actually build something. And you had to do it all through... it wasn't even computer graphics then. What did they have?
Mm. Well, I mean, they would have had computers, but not for that
purpose. No, but it was like, yeah. It's completely different. And it honestly just looks fantastic. Sorry,
but the line... everybody can relax, I found the car, is so fucking funny to me. Like, just what a great
right,
everybody can relax, I found the car. I love that. It's like the confidence of this piece of shit car. It's so good.
But he must have a lot of faith in his skills as a mechanic, I suppose.
Mm. And Annie Potts, right?
Yeah,
she's fantastic. Yeah, she's so much fun. I'm really glad she's going to be in Frozen Empire.
You know what? She's just in this enough.
Yeah.
Like, she doesn't need to be any more than what she is. It's just that it's that rounding off. It's like, here's a, like, oh well, obviously Winston is to come, but it feels like everybody's now assembled.
Her little, essentially. When he says you got the bug eyes, which is her little tiny facial tick reactions to that is so good. Like, little eyebrow, like, fuck off. Like, okay. And knowing the apology is coming. Like, she knows just, this is coming.
Right. But in fact, the apology is so immediate.
Yeah.
It's funny as well. I mean, you know, we've made a sort of relative comparison before, but when we talk about Men in Black.
Yes.
And about how everything works in that.
Yeah.
Again, this is one product of those, like, there. Lightning in a bottle.
Yeah.
Kind of, like, God, nobody was having a day off on this, you know. Yeah. Everybody was working, like, to their peak kind of thing.
Really funny seeing, I mean, I know I'm being basic, but just the casual smoking is weird to see in a movie nowadays.
Yeah, that's such a, you wouldn't get that, no, would you? No.
Look at Peter just emerging from behind the fight and running and jumping. Oh, it's so good. The way he pops on like a fucking meerkat. How good is that? How good is that? What a movie. I'm very fond of the way that when Dana enters, she's almost quite ethereal herself. Like, she's dressed in this she kind of floats. It's very interesting. Can you believe next door is running some kind of train store or something? Fucking doesn't matter. It won't come out.
No, don't worry about it.
Complaining. And then, of course, this is in it, sort of mirroring the the light in the camera is so good. But it is mirroring the testing, sort of the fake bullshit testing.
Yeah. But it's interesting. This is it's kind of the first time we've seen them do anything that feels scientific to a degree that we can relate to it. Like, are you actually qualified to be giving that examination? Like, you know, there is always a hint of them being out of their depth. Like, what do the doctorates actually mean? Yeah, you know,
loads of product placement there.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm not putting out product placement. I'm not dumping on it. Movies have product placement.
This is where they got the 30 mil.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. the conversation is so good. They're just completely on the same wavelength. Dan Aykroyd is just like, I think people don't praise Dan Aykroyd as an actor enough. He's in that role. Like,
yeah, no, he really is. Yeah. He's completely embraced it.
I mean, this is my favourite of his roles by far. And that's me saying my favourite movie is fucking Blues Brothers. I still prefer his.
You still prefer him in this? Yeah.
I mean, this is probably like two or three. Like, I mean, this is up there for me.
If I think about it, the last time I saw him be great was in, and I don't think you've seen it, it's Gross Point Blank?
No, I haven't seen it, but I have got it on my list.
Yeah, he's fantastic in that.
I want to watch that, and I want to watch Spies Like Us, and then I'm going to do my John Landis collection. And yeah. They hate this. Yeah. Just the absolute world-class bullshit. It's fantastic.
I love how, now you see, in a lesser film, she would be falling for it. Yeah. And she's clearly not. She clearly sees past everything. Like he's the showman. He's the entertainer. He's the guy that you would put on the poster to advertise Ghostbusters as a business. But he's not the person that you would send to investigate something.
I mean, I'm going to be completely frank. Look, I think that Bill Murray can be quite unenjoyable sometimes. Like I think
that is fair.
I think there's a kind of a air quotes cult of Bill Murray that I don't like because I like it when I like him in this. Mm. I like him in Groundhog Day because that's a tremendous film. Mm. Though I understand there was a lot of friction in the making of that between and was that Ivor? No, that was Zemeckis, wasn't it?
No, that was Remus that directed that.
That was Harold Remus. Sorry. Yeah. I knew there's a connection. Let's see, what am I doing presenting a fucking film? I don't know shit.
That's why I'm here.
I do like him. It's stuff like one of the most annoyed I've been watching a movie was fucking Zombieland when they worship him.
Yeah.
20-minute Bill Murray worship, you know.
Yeah.
I feel like that to agree to do something like that takes the kind of ego that just puts me off someone. But then again, I'm a fan of people like Tom Cruise, and he's probably one of the best, you know, ego fucking maniac actors.
Well, if you ever, that's an interesting one. I think Bill Murray is one of those people you can tell when there's a lack of interest and he's in it for the money.
Yeah.
This one feels like he was really on board with the idea. Really enjoyed working with these people. This was him like on form.
Yeah.
But you can tell when he's not. He's definitely one of those people. Tom Cruise is on another. I mean, I always kind of enjoy him, but it's different.
Look at the size of his fucking forehead. Jesus Christ.
I mean, that is a pretty sizable forehead. It's enormous. Yeah. I mean, I go on about Tarantino's forehead, but that's big.
It is big.
It is big. Like, his whole forehead is bigger than her entire head.
Is it? I know this is a slightly gauche thing to point out, but like, they're both really attractive. I mean, Bill Murray's not super conventionally attractive, but he's so charismatic.
Yeah, there is, and that's why I think, you know, despite how fuck awful Afterlife was, the post credits with those two, there was still a hint of that spark because they're both good performers and they clearly enjoy working together. I think there was a bit of that. Still.
I feel like one of the problems that that Ghostbusters 2 has, my apologies for bringing this up.
It's alright.
I like that in this movie, Dana's never the damsel in distress, really, and not particularly. Like, she's, even in this, she knows what she saw, she's in control of the thing, she's not pissing her pants, hiding behind.
Yeah.
She was behind Venkman at the beginning because he is saying all that stuff about if anything's going to happen.
Yeah.
First, you know.
But not her, but like, he's kind of like, he's bullshitting, and she's just letting him get on with it. She is very much in charge.
In Ghostbusters 2, which, again, I have rewatched, and I know I don't feel as bad towards as I did, I don't like the fact that she spends the whole movie mooning over a stupid fucking baby. Like, I could do without
a
baby.
I can always do without a baby subplot. Yeah. I mean,
look, his reaction to that is so good. That's so good, just his fucking face just then. I love the camaraderie of this, them sitting around the table with all their takeout. It's so nice.
Egon, no alcohol.
Coke. Man, there's a lot of Coke in this.
There is a lot of Coke in this.
There was a lot of Coke.
They were flying about. That's it.
And this magnificent feast represents the last of the petty cash. I love it. Oh, this is wonderful.
I love that.
Oh, here we go. Iconic scene coming up.
Slow down, chew your food.
Yeah.
Like, he's looking after two kids, basically, you know, in that way.
This is an iconic scene. I love
this.
I'm
brilliant.
Just going to enjoy this if that's okay with you.
Yeah, please.
Yes, of course they're serious.
She's so fucking fed up.
She's fantastic in Ghostbusters 2, by the way.
Yeah, that's
I think her and Lewis' subplot is probably a favourite part of that movie.
By the way, she looks so hot in that film. In the second one.
Brilliant. The music is fantastic as well. Well, I'm trying to figure out what those games are in the background. Star Castle. I'll figure out.
How did they afford all that? I think that rundown shithole didn't come with those.
Maybe, probably not. But probably you can rent them. So yeah.
Yeah.
The video game, the fact that it lets you, Egon's expression coming down the pipe is really funny. The fact that they, in the video game, let you kind of just like wander around the firehouse first person. Yeah. Is kind of it. That's very cool. Yeah. The new one, Spirits Unleashed, has that as well.
Right.
Which is a nice feature, interacting with like the shit in there, which I like. Brilliant. I get like I'm not emotional, but I'm actually getting like hairs on the back of my neck whenever I see like New York night photography on film.
Yeah,
I get chills, man.
Right.
I'm getting it right now. The 70s and 80s were
fucking fantastic for New York.
Honestly though, all the way, and not just New York, but like Chicago.
Any of the major cities.
Because I mentioned before the fucking awful movie Blues Brothers 2000. Even that has deeply beautiful night photography of Chicago.
It's been a while since I've gone back to it.
And it frustrates me because like there is some incredible direction in that film by John Landis, who is he's a murderer of children, but he's also he's a brilliant director, a really good blockbuster director in my opinion.
I agree with you.
How to fucking shoot a film, and it's interesting. It makes me sad to see what a movie like this, and look at that guy, is so perfect. Everyone's so perfect.
No, there's the thing. That is background stuff, right? He doesn't need to be included as a character.
he's bite your head off, man. Oh, I love it.
But it just...
I got it the next... Oh, I love this movie. It's so much fun.
Do you know what I think it is in comedy films now? There is a tendency to overperform.
Yeah.
There's a tendency to exaggerate everything. Mm-hmm. And how... They play this very naturally.
No smoking versus unlicensed nuclear accelerator. Fucking
It's good,
isn't
it?
Sorry,
yeah.
No.
Yeah. The thing is, like, these performances...
That sound and the reaction. Oh, my God.
And that is... Yeah.
It's
see, when I was a kid...
Yeah.
I thought that they were backing off because he'd farted.
Oh, why?
Because he realizes what they just lit up on his back and he lets one go. Oh, and they're all like, ooh.
That's interesting. Yeah. Interesting.
I don't know why I thought that.
That is
there's,
really
there's
odd.
No evidence to suggest that.
I used to think that Captain America was being racist.
Yeah, no, you did. Yeah, no, that's okay. Well, I guess we're both unpacking something. that is
the edginess, and you know the no smoking, and then it's a nice little foreshadow. That's all.
Do you know what? It'll be very hard to wipe with those bog rolls now.
You know what the thing is, man? Like watching this to do this.
Mm.
Is making me just want to immediately watch it again, like, just to soak it up.
It's so
successful test. Oh my God, it's so well shot. What I was saying before is it just makes me so wistful, thinking about how in my lifetime even I'm thinking about fucking crap films like Casper.
Yeah,
I'd go and see it. Yeah. You still get. Oh my God, it's a movie. The magic of cinema. Yeah,
right.
The real film grain. The rain. You're
feels
in a new
like
world.
A fucking
the
movie.
Texture brings you into the world.
Yeah.
Looking at this in 4K, where you can see the intensity of the grain. That's oh, brilliant.
I know.
The intensity of the grain, and it's just like it is magic, isn't it? It's fucking magic, and it's because you've got that extra layer between you and the world. You're so much more willing to suspend disbelief.
That's it. But I think filmmaking now. Nobody thinks.
Still looks fantastic.
Nobody thinks about like a comedy film. Nobody thinks about the film first and then the comedy second. And I think that is the key of the success of this. The comedy comes, as we were saying, the comedy comes because of the characters, because of who they are.
Yeah.
It's not made to be funny. They are funny characters.
Yeah.
Then just in their natural dialogue, they are funny. Yeah. But if you remove the comedy, this still works. Like this, it still looks like a film, it still feels like a film, it's still engaging. The little poke is fucking brilliant.
Yeah.
But it doesn't stop, like, you know, when it comes to the big stuff later, you do actually get involved in the heroics of it, and it just because they're like out of their depth and sort of schlubs, it doesn't stop them being badass, like when it comes to the big moments, you know.
Sorry, I'm just kind of enjoying the performances here. Slimer
immediately, right? Yeah, on the back of that.
The Slimer is such a remarkable creation, though. Like, I can see why he took off the way he did. Like,
yeah,
for the kids and such. But like, even now, like, the effects of this movie hold up because, again, A, they're practical, and B, they don't really try and get above their station. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're very aware of the limitations.
Yeah. So when you see Slimer, like, filling his face, the first thing I think to myself is, how the fuck did
they
do
that? Yeah, you know, yeah.
The thing is, there are all these featurettes, and there's, like, I think there's almost movie-length documentary about how they made Slimer, like, from beginning to end.
Right, okay.
And I've never watched it, because I don't really want to lose that.
No, you know,
Foyed on that guy as well, fuck me.
But the
this movie fucking Foyed.
The thing about that is, though,
Splinter Cell, sorry.
If they made this now, the assumption would be that they did it all CG. And you know that they didn't have that to fall back on at this point. And so that begs the question, how did they pull it off when it still looks convincing?
You know the...
there's a fidelity.
You know the mission in the game, the first mission where you go back to the Cedric Hotel?
Yeah.
Because I was an edgelord, and I was using the proton pack, and I was just drawing, like, enormous swastikas all over the walls.
God.
Because I thought it was funny when the guy would come in and be like, oh, you've done a tremendous job. Like, you know, and I've just anti-Semitism, just, like, plastering all the walls. I mean, it's like, you know, it's just pure edgelord. But it was nice that the game let you draw swastikas, I have to say. Well, thank you, game.
Well, it was nice. Not that. But it was nice that they did.
this scene is so good. Sorry.
Like, basically, the opening of that game was just a highlights reel. It was just a sort of victory lap of, like, oh yeah, you remember why you like Ghostbusters.
Wait, here we go. Wait, let me just. Important safety tip. Thanks, Egon. Imagine all life as you know it instantaneously. Oh, fucking hell, this movie is.
Do amazing. You remember, like.
I'm sorry about swastikas, I wanted to confess that I did that.
Okay, never mind. Mm. Like, if they did that bit now, again, the reactions would be, like, exaggerated. Like, imagine somebody, a comedy performer doing the bit where he says he slimed me now, and it'd be like, you know, they would be hysterical.
I think what I think is, what I think is, I don't like the idea of Milhouse having two spaghetti dinners in one day.
Oh, God.
What I think you'd have to say, basically, about this movie is you'd be very hard-pressed to watch the scenes of, for example, the scene where Egon was, you know, foot up on shooting the fucking proton at Slimer. And you look at that,
Your joke is not important.
But what I'm trying to get at is, I think that if you look at that and you say this looks dated, then I think you're full of shit, to be honest. Like, it's been stylized so much, and they're, again, not trying to go further than they need to.
Mm.
Like, if these scenes in, like, the 2016 movie, which, again, I didn't hate, just noise.
Yeah.
Visual noise and shit.
Yeah.
I looked at the trapery. I know we're not talking about the game, but they did a great job of adapting that
film. It really did, actually, yeah.
The Spirits Unleashed, because it's multiplayer, when you have four of you have got it in the thing, like four people, it feels really cool.
We're
Ghostbusters. I like that a lot.
Yeah.
I'd love them to make another game, like the good one, you know, the big one.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen now, I don't think.
I'll... Don't rule it out, given how, you know, Ghostbusters is kind of back now. You know, I mean, it's definitely a possibility.
I want them to finally show the animated series they're supposed to be developing that they said was coming.
Not sure about that.
Yeah. We came, we saw, we kicked its ass. How many times have I said that shit, man?
Like, I mean...
No smoking again. Sorry, just putting that out.
Oh, look at the product placement there for Cedric.
I'm sorry for bringing up the product. I hadn't really noticed it, and I just think because we're doing commentary, we should.
Yeah.
$4,000 for this? Sorry, that's a meme.
Is it?
With a friend of mine. Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. Well, that'll cover the cost of the car, wouldn't it?
That guy is so like John Cleese.
Yeah.
It ain't easy being Cleese.
Oh. Cheesy.
The thing that I find quite funny is, like, back then, I mean, $5,000 obviously was a lot of money back then.
Yeah.
But compared to the damage they've caused,
I know, I don't think it would cover it at all. You don't. It's like, almost like this is their first mission and they've taken it as read. It's like, you will accept the damage that we've done in our day.
I love the bird guy in the background.
Now, is he an extra or is he just there? Was he paid to do that?
Is
or was
this
he just
the
like...
montage where we get the scene?
Yeah, okay. It is.
Now, that what fascinates me about that is that that scene is one of the things in the movie that I think is the most jarring.
Mm.
Because it's from a totally removed subplot.
Yeah.
Which explains why they're in this weird building that they never otherwise appear in. Oh, fucking hell, Larry King, awesome.
Yeah.
I forgot that he was in
Which is why they turned it into a dream thing.
Fucking love Larry King, man.
He's alright.
Him on the Norm Macdonald show was one of the funniest things. Like, I loved it.
I don't think I saw that. Mm.
Oh, sorry, quiet. I'm just enjoying the movie now. I got it like Louis Theroux. Love that. The Atlantic with the like cartoon of them is so perfect for the era.
Yeah.
So perfect for the era. Plus, do Ghost has civil rights, the plot of Ted.
Hey!
The plot of Ted 2. And then, as noticed for the first time by me, even though he says out loud, this is Casey Kasem, I think I'm so engaged in the visuals when I'm watching this movie that I didn't really listen to the radio.
Yeah. Why is she not moved out yet? I would be straight out of that poem.
Yeah. My friend Salem, one of his like aunts or uncles lives in that building.
Really? Oh, that's so cool. Yeah. Oh man.
Well, I mean, when I was in New York, I went with my friend Matt because his sister used to live there.
Yeah.
And we could crash with her, and it was like, day one. Well, what do you want to do today? I want to go to fucking Ghostbusters Firehouse. Yeah. I did. Yeah. I told this story, haven't I?
Mm.
Yeah. So I go there. Someone has spray painted the Ghostbusters logo on the
So just, odd. Ghost Blazer.
Like, if I was going to remove one thing from this movie, it would be that.
I do. It kind of. It does fit. It is a weird moment, but. If you consider that this has been like their life for so long now, like, you know, as a result of the montage, you see that they obviously have been doing this for a while.
Yeah.
That he's got ghosts on the brain so much that it's just intercut with his, like, sort of horniness. And so they sort of mingle in his subconscious. I mean, I think that does make some sort of sense, but it is a weird thing to drop.
I think it's the one thing in the movie that I kind of go, like, cut this. Like, you know,
I
mean, I like the joke. Yeah. I like but it needs context, in my opinion.
Yes, well, I forget what the actual context is.
There's Ernie Hudson. Walken is the fucking great character. I love him.
Mm.
It brings the even more heart into the movie.
Well, it's interesting because you think he's the everyman.
Yeah.
You know, when we've been following Venkman all this time. And so he brings a completely different energy. He's not the cynic, but he's kind of like... it now feels
I love that. It just hires him immediately.
Yeah, it's just like whatever.
I'm just getting like emotional because I love this movie so much, man. I'm actually like crying. I can't believe this shit, man. What a great movie. Oh god.
Look at this action here. I mean, what is that?
The thing that I love is like, it's like he's not doing that for anyone's benefit.
No,
he's just tossing around.
But it gets her attention anyway. Yeah. I mean, that's how is he getting the spare time to do that?
It's really interesting that that's a tracking shot, because you'd think they would do a cut there, but no, it's a tracking shot. That is interesting. I'm really into this. Dying to abuse me. what a choice, man. Like, I just get so, like... It's interesting watching the movies in this way, because with the kind of the volume down, I'm focusing even more on the shots and the visuals, and it's becoming even clearer to me how well-made this is.
Yeah.
You know, the way they create the sense of place and the sense of, like, New York's more... attractive side, you know. What is the appeal of New York is that you have these spaces that look like this and feel like this, and even in the brief, like, I'm not trying to do like big man on fucking the USA kind of thing.
No.
I was there for 1 week and had very limited experience for obvious reasons, and I've never really stopped wanting to go back there because of the sheer fucking vibes of the place. Like, it's, everywhere it's, I went felt alive.
Yeah. It's interesting. Anybody that I know that has been there says much the same, actually. It's one of the few places in America that I would definitely like to visit at some point.
Well, maybe one day we should go, then. Let's make it happen.
But I think...
Kenneth's gym in New York.
Wow.
Dude, we should do that.
Well, fuck it, I'm up for it. Yeah, why not?
All right, I'm shaking all right. We're going to make that happen at some point. There
we go. Okay. And the first thing we got to do is go to the firehouse. Yeah. You know, it's like,
cause, of course we're going to the firehouse. I've
never been. Thing is, I think it gives...
I love the combative stance of that guy.
Yeah, that's really... And he...
I wonder if he was a more prominent character at any point.
I don't think so. But look how much he owns this now. Yeah. You're like...
He knows that he's the shit. That's true. Yeah. I mean, the way that...
But look at that little gesture as she's walking away, though. He's like...
Yeah.
It's not the same. Like, he's owned the scene. And then as soon as she's gone, he's just like, oh, man, well, it's, she's great.
It's a communication that he's quite a lonely man.
Yeah,
because he does have that sense of, like, arrogance, but that I'm above all this, but he knows he's not. Mm. You know, it's really well done.
But when you can convey that without using dialogue, when you do that in a performance, you know, it means a lot more in cinema, you know.
Yes, agreed, yeah.
When you can communicate something visually.
Yeah. Oh, here we go.
Here's the villain. He's the real villain. Perhaps Peck is the real monster.
Brathwaller Peck is the real monster. I'm glad that one caught on. Like, it's such an odd joke, but it caught on.
I keep thinking it was The Simpsons that originated that, and I think... It was you.
I don't know what it was. I don't know. Perhaps Blank is the real monster, but it seemed right to do it
that
in that voice.
Yeah.
Perhaps Walter Peck is the real monster, even.
Perhaps Walter Peck.
There he is.
Yeah, there he is.
Yeah. Oh, God. He's so... Look at this. This is the thing. This is how deft this is. Here's the thing. Walter Peck is absolutely 100% right in everything he posits here. The pettiness is almost justified by the way that Venkman treats him from the off.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't... I don't think he comes here to antagonize, but it works because you're absolutely 100% on the side of the fucking... of the busters, you know?
Yeah.
But when people say, disingenuously, he's not the villain, he's right. It's like, no... It's a fundamental fucking unwillingness to get on board with what they're watching, you know?
Yeah.
It's a bummer, man.
There is a disrespect for authority.
The way people talk about this movie bums me out. I think it's really funny that he's sat next to a packet that says Wise on it. Like, that is that is intentional. Like,
yeah.
I mean, it is more fucking product placement.
It's also a bit of set dressing that informs on something else, yeah.
But I mean, I like Walter Peck, like, as a character. He is more than like, he is.
But it's interesting. Look at this. Yeah. He goes 0 to 60 here.
Yeah, he does. Yeah.
Even though he was slightly on board, and the only thing Venkman is doing there is just asking, like, well, why do you want to see it?
Yeah.
And it's just like, how fucking dare you even ask that question?
Yeah.
So there is an extent.
Venkman is being antagonistic.
Yeah.
Like, but. Wrongful prosecution. Yeah. But I like Peck.
He
reminds me of someone I know.
Really? Maybe don't say the name.
I won't.
On here. Give me a spoonerism.
No.
Because it would be obvious.
Yeah, it would be really obvious.
Yeah. Okay.
Good bit. And also a product placement, by the way.
Yeah, you know, I noticed that.
Product placement for Twinkies.
You're out of Twinkie.
Yeah, they're gross.
Okay.
They're really horrible, mate.
I keep hearing that, and yet I'm going to have to, like, try one.
Yeah, but I mean, give it a go.
Yeah.
I think they're gross, personally. I don't like... They're kind of weird.
I love that even though Egon is, like, on a different level than the other guys, you know, he is still in that sort of junk food, like, to get by mentality. Like, he's not that much above.
His reaction, what about the Twinkie, is so good. Interesting, the horse and cart as well. That's an interesting choice. I'd like to know what I mean. I get it. It's about creating a sense of old world, kind of like.
Well, I think that is still a thing.
It is.
Right?
It is. Yeah. But it's the choice to have in mid frame, right there. Like, I'd like to know what's going on there.
Mm.
I mean, I guess the horse. There's a set. You could interpret it a little bit that the two horses are like. I sort of think. Look at that, and I immediately kind of find myself thinking like. Gatekeeper, Keymaster, and Zool is the fucking what they're pulling.
Along. Oh right, yeah.
That's just the, it's just. I always feel like this stuff is intentional on some level.
Oh, I agree. Know. Yeah.
But the way that the Keymaster and the Gatekeeper stuff is handled is.
How does he fucking know? Look at this.
Yeah.
It's really funny. It's you. Yeah. No, I think you're right. I don't think there's anything in here in terms of like the. It's too carefully designed for that to be an accident.
Yeah. He's the door shutting again behind him. Is great. Third time.
How does he keep it happening?
I do like Lewis as a character, and I like the way that he develops in the second movie as well.
Yeah, that's fun. Yeah.
Remind me the name of the actor again?
Rick Moranis.
Yeah, because he doesn't really do anything anymore, does he?
He's retired. Yeah.
I know him from this and Space. From this and Spaceballs and Little Shop of Horrors.
Yes.
Which is great.
Yeah.
Spaceballs sucks, man.
Just put that on the record. Yeah, Spaceballs does suck.
It's got like a couple of funny bits where he gets hurt. you have to laugh. have you seen it, right?
Yeah.
It's just, I don't think Mel Brooks movies are that funny, man. I just can't get on board with them.
I did like Blazing Saddles a lot, but yeah. I think that's about it. Oh, The Producers, maybe?
Yeah.
That was fun. Yeah.
Dracula Dead and Loving It.
Not so much.
Dracula Ted and Loving It. Isn't it a pleasure to watch a movie that isn't a piece of fucking shit?
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah.
And... that was a very pointed reference to watching
this
Ted last night.
This is a great piece of stalkerish camera work as well.
Mm.
Create that sense of just like there's evil in this building everywhere. Yep. Like it's beautifully done.
There's also the anticipation of exactly what you're going to be seeing when the camera finishes its journey.
The light coming through there is perfect, the reveal. Perfectly done. It's not like... it's just like you like holy wait what is that it's very well done. I like it a lot. She's very statuesque, isn't she?
Gorgeous.
She's an absolutely beautiful woman. Fantastic. This is like
well, look at the impressions. Like that is Fred, an Elm Street. Yeah.
It's genuinely quite creepy. One of them right on the tit.
Dirty bastards. No, it's that
you dirty old bollocks. That looks great. Hang on, that's a bit much.
And just the... As she slides in and the door closes and that's it.
One of the... Done. I mean, the hand on the tip there. I'm sorry.
What
it speaks to me of... I mean, I'm going to just say it. And you know I don't want to get into this. But that's kind of problematic.
Don't get into it then.
No, I'm going to. Because it's important, I think. This movie was originally going to be a much bawdier sex comedy.
Yeah.
And that, to me, almost feels like a relic of that. It's the kind of thing that maybe in the first draft they might have played that up.
Well, the ghost blowjob also feels a remnant of that.
I'm not making too big of a deal out of it because, like, in the moment when you're watching the movie, it doesn't really register as sexual.
No.
It's just I do wonder if maybe
It's definitely a sexual threat gesture.
It is, yeah. Oh, that's such a great... The way she just stands up in pops the frame
up.
Is
yeah,
so good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like this because like Lewis is like he's a little like he's a nerd, but he's not like a total fucking loser. Like he wants to entertain. He wants. He's got all these friends.
And this is
know?
It. And she's clearly quite keen on him.
Yeah.
You know.
And I think that that adds that the warmth of that just means you've got a character here who's got some level of depth to him. Oh, look at it, brilliant! Oh, I love it. just throwing the jacket straight on.
But you know what? There are no characters in this that you don't want to spend time with. I think that is a rare thing now.
Who brought the dog? Oh, it's so good. That's like the only effect in this movie that doesn't hold up.
Well, you know what? It's got a
charm to it.
Yeah, but it is slightly jank.
Yeah.
This one actually as well.
Yeah.
A little bit. That's a bit. Ooh.
Yeah.
What was that?
I mean, the fact that we're watching this in 4K doesn't help. On a VHS,
no, I don't. I think that's an argument for not upgrading everything.
I'm absolutely with you on that.
Yeah.
I mean, as we've talked about. But look at this lighting. Fuck me, I'm so jealous. I want to go there so bad.
Yeah.
Dude, I'm actually like 100% sincere that we should totally do New York.
I would be up for going. Yeah, for sure.
Do some movie shit.
No, you committed to music shit now.
I'm fine with that.
Again, New York.
Oh, Starship at Madison Square Garden.
Yes. Play your hit.
There's a lot of balloon imagery in this movie, which makes me think again about kind of floating apparitions and also marshmallows. And I'm just saying, there's a lot of balloons in this movie. I've not really noticed that until this viewing.
I haven't really noticed
that. In not many wide shots, there's always someone with balloons, or there's balloons flowing about. I think there's got to be something to that.
Mm.
Look at that. Brilliant fucking camera work. Brilliant fucking composition. It's perfect.
I love it. You don't need to see anything.
Yeah.
And these,
they don't give a fuck.
And it's just, oh yeah, fuck. Yeah. Whatever.
Reminds me that one of the things I do like about Ted is Americans don't give a shit about anything.
Well, it is interesting. It does It does say something about the character.
Look at this girl. Look at this girl. Just random shades, like pink hair,
pops.
Giving you the sense this is a city where there's always stuff happening constantly.
Yeah,
interesting people everywhere.
That's the restaurant thing as well. It's like, yeah, oh exactly, god, that's just a typical sort of New York night. Even he looks at that and goes, what?
Yeah.
You know, whatever.
It's wonderful. Fucking wonderful.
Yeah.
It's
really good.
I think it's fucking crazy that my friend's like, oh, hello.
I mean, you would, wouldn't you?
Of course I would. Jesus Christ, are you kidding me?
You wouldn't even, like,
the shoulder, she's perfect. She's absolutely beautiful. She's a fantastic actress. I really, really love her. I mean, this is like well post-Alien, right?
No.
Really?
Oh, no, post-Alien.
That Alien was 79, isn't it?
79 and this was 84. So,
been in between those?
Some stuff.
Just some stuff.
Okay. Yeah, okay, nothing that I'm not actually sure of.
But she's for such a strong actress, her presence does seem relatively like limited, right? Like I guess when you've done these roles and you're Ripley, you don't really need to do much.
No. But it's nice for somebody who's obviously such an accomplished actress to not be afraid of genre stuff, and to actually have made her mark through genre stuff. I think that gives it a certain sort of credibility and respect.
I was still going on. I think that like this sequence is important in the sense of it being like, that was in all the trailers.
Yeah, that's right.
Like, I really like this scene because I think a lot of people who criticized the character Venkman for being a predator or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, in this scene, like, it's clear that he's just like, no, what, like, he's, I mean, obviously he's torn of it, but
Well, you would be, but it's kind of, he's trying to, he's obviously recognizing that she's still in there, and like, you know, it's that kind of like, oh my god, how do I break this off, like, sort of gently? Because he doesn't know what he's dealing with either, you know?
I love this scene. He's the sudden, like there's the sincerity comes through.
Yeah, there is a switch.
Yeah.
There's a definite, like, it's playful, but there is, like, a sort of, there is a genuine concern coming across as well.
Yeah. Ninja in the Nth Dimension. Sorry.
No. I want you to cut that gag out.
No.
Okay.
Like, no. You're just bleeping that.
Yeah. Fair enough. But he's...
Possession's always fun.
Yeah. Unless you're possessed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Another great effect coming up.
Yeah.
I do wonder how this scene would have played out in the sex comedy version of this movie, though.
Ooh.
It's not worth speculating on, though.
No, I think that would have been problematic.
Yeah, I mean, this is problematic, but it's not in a way that's especially...
Look at how taut everything looks. Yeah, like, the way she's performing physically just makes it look like everything is just incredibly tense and tight.
Lampshade again.
Yep.
It's, this movie really is something else.
I mean, look at the physical performance here.
Yeah.
I'd be hard, we talk about Jaws being, like, nearly sort of perfect.
Yeah.
I can't put this on the same level, but at the same time, I'd be hard pressed to look at this and say that there's anything that doesn't work.
I like horse.
When he runs off, he's, what an asshole.
Yeah.
That's like such a New York thing.
You're an asshole. I don't know who he is. I recognise that actor.
I know.
Yeah. Oh, hello.
We'll see it in the credits.
That's very funny. Dead air because we're just enjoying it so much. Yeah. The composition of that as well, the lights coming out from the Ghostbuster light
from the sign,
and then you've got the perfectly parallel fucking vat, like paddy wagon there.
Yeah,
it's beautifully composed. It really is.
It really is.
Movies used to look so good, man. Well, and now they look like dog shit.
They used to actually give a fuck about
me
lighting.
Really sad.
Do you know what? It's that thing of, like, you know, not lighting it realistically, light it artistically, and the nobody cares about that anymore.
The movies do benefit.
That's fucking great, that little clue in there.
Movies do benefit from being shown in relatively low fidelity.
Yeah.
This movie has alternated for me between, like, effect scenes not looking as good as they used to because they're in high definition, which they're never meant to be seen in.
Uh-huh.
But then a lot of the shots, the general composition and stuff, because you can see so much more of the set dressing so much more clearly, it looks incredible.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it's like when I look, I mean, this is not an Italian giallo movie, but it's like seeing a movie like Blood and Black Lace in 4K or HD is absolutely incredible.
It's unfortunate at the same time as highlighting all the work that's gone into the composition, as you say, it also highlights the... limitations that they were working with
but
at the time.
And to you as well, obviously.
Yeah.
It's still preferable to CGI-ing up.
Oh, God, yeah. Though,
because with something like Ghostbusters 2016, which for the third time I do like, it neither looks good in its set dressing or in its effect. They didn't give a shit.
No.
But it's all about this semi-improvised dialogue that was the comedy style of the time.
Basically. Yeah.
I like it, but it ain't crafted like this is. It's going to be interesting. Love that little humanizing touch there as well with the photo.
I think you would have to, I mean, and I know you only went back to this a while ago, but I think you'd also have to acknowledge that in terms of the craftsmanship and composition, that 2 also has...
Dude, let's do a commentary for 2 next. I'm serious. Let's do it.
Really? Like, you want to do that?
I would like to talk with you about that movie while it's playing and just get the vibes and see if maybe I'll pick up more appreciation from it through you.
Yeah.
A tab in the background there. Tab, product placement.
Do you know what? It didn't register to me.
Because it's 4K, I can see all the fucking.
You can see all the fucking product.
And I'm not criticizing it. That's the nature. It's.
Can I interject with an interesting bit of trivia?
Yes, you can.
Okay, it's only because this is 4K that you can see the product placement. Yes. No brands gave them any money when this was initially.
Look at that shot.
Yes.
Come on.
and the shot, the bookend shot of this scene also is fucking spectacular as well, by the way.
Miss Jackson.
No.
I'm not going to do it.
No, yeah. not while I'm watching someone else, man.
Not even for the record, Miss Jackson. Mm. I'm sorry, Miss Jackson.
Oh man, this sucks. No, I see. You put me in that space.
You won't just give me an inch, will you?
No, because you take a mile.
That's fair, I will. That is true. I like this scene as well. Very interesting. But you don't get much of Ray and Winston, really.
No. So it's nice that you get this. And I think it made sense for those guys to be paired up, because you can see. Like, you know how you were talking about the sort of autistic couple that is Egon and Ray, and yet here we've got a pair that couldn't be further apart, and it's almost like Winston sort of grounds him a bit. Like he's very open to that.
There's
a logic in what Winston's saying here that he's just not considered, which is brilliant. He brings something to the team. Look at that shot.
I can't, man.
Isn't that fantastic?
Yeah, that's it. I mean, that skyline, the bridges, man. Just the sense of place is perfect. That you get that.
You do not get photography that looks that good anymore.
When I got to New York, the first thing we did was get a cab to Manhattan, Lower East.
Yeah,
and I love that him walking his frame looming.
Yeah,
slightly Dutch angle.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. There is a little. Slight tilt,
But the look at this as well. Like, they make that look so much bigger than it actually is, just by...
Yeah, you don't need to have the camera back that far, but it's doing something.
It's perfectly done.
Yeah.
Because normally we don't see it from this angle, so when Walter Peck enters, it looks like a fucking warehouse for the first time, rather than a home.
Yeah, it's huge.
Perfect. I've seen TV.
He rattles off a bunch of stuff here that she will have no concept of, and that's his weapon, basically.
Yeah,
he could just say anything at that point.
Yeah,
and she'd have to let him pass.
Sorry, just real quick. But when I got to the city, you get a cab to Lower East, and you feel it. Like as you're driving, you're immediately just in this vibe. And I loved it, man. I'd love to go back. We'll record a podcast live in New York on Saturday night. God, Saturday Night Live is a cat.
Saturday Night Live. Oh no, I'm getting mugged immediately.
Everyone from this comes from Saturday Night Live.
So. Yeah, it's true. Yeah. Was it Saturday Night Live or was it Second City?
Probably both. I mean, I think that Bill Murray was in Second City, but Saturday Night Live, he was on, Dan Aykroyd was on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, yeah.
Not sure about Ramis. It might have been Second City.
I believe maybe he wrote for...
It's possible. I've read several books about SNL, and the problem is I've forgotten all of it.
Well, that's not very good for a commentary stream.
No, it's not great. But, I mean, the point is, SNL sucks. The performers don't. That's why you get so many SNL performers making the jump.
Yeah.
Because they're strong, you know.
And presumably, you know, writing a lot of their own material.
Iconic comedians as like Keenan.
Fuck you. Yeah. You knew that was an easy Ken laugh. Yeah. Mentioning Keenan. Yeah. That's why you get superstars like Kel.
I mean, I still think that the David S. Pumpkins is a funny sketch, though. I loved that.
I don't remember that sketch.
Oh, right, okay. It's the one with Tom... That's great. Just boom. Tom Hanks as David S. Pumpkins is funny to me. Very funny. This is the absolute speed with which this is moving.
Yeah, it's very efficient.
Yeah.
And I don't think, again... There's stuff in here that doesn't need to be there, that is there to, you know, inform on character, that it's there informing the environment. But again, it feels incredibly efficient.
I love Lewis' little expression there. He doesn't give a fuck.
Brilliant. No, that's... And this is actually... It's taken a turn now. Like, it's sort of stopped being funny for a bit. This shot coming up.
Yeah.
Like, how did they do that?
I have no idea how they did any of this. I intentionally try and avoid that stuff, I guess.
It's fine. Yeah, I don't really need the illusion shattered.
I like to sort of... I do like to have the books and things, and I want to read those books, but it's not the same as watching the sausage gets made, you know.
It's interesting, like, you know, when you look at something like the appendices for The Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
and you see how they pulled it off.
Yeah.
Like the whole range of like, you know, doing miniatures, doing like, you know, how they built the costumes and like shooting in real environments, and it all came together. I think it is great to see how much care went into something.
Sorry, Winston, that's bad, isn't it? And Dan Aykroyd like running his
pants. Yeah, he's very good at distilling stuff down to essentials.
Yep.
That's like Egon loses it, you know, things have like got out of hand. Yeah. Like,
little Stay Puft, fair show.
Yeah, yeah. Little,
never
little
noticed that portion. Before.
No, that's product placement.
Outstanding circle-shaped shot there. Looks absolutely incredible.
Doesn't it, though?
Yeah. It scenes like this where I like having high fidelity, high definition. You get that sense of the city in this era.
And I think it's a scene like this that really marks it out, because this is not to serve the comedy.
No.
This is to actually, it's sort of, this feels weird, but it's almost a comedy film second.
Yes.
And when you look at a scene like this, it sort of rings true.
This used to scare kids. It's probably and look at freaky.
The differences in the ghosts. Yeah. Like, there isn't one.
The
fucked
up thing is, that's actually just a normal New York
cabbie. Is that a normal cabbie? Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's the guy that actually drove you around, wasn't it?
Oh, the guy was insane. Terribly dangerous driver. It was like, hot dog ghost time. Yes.
Yeah, there he is.
That's me on a Friday night.
But no one ghost has looked like another ghost. Everything has everything's got its own character.
So, Lewis having sex with Dana is quite problematic, though, right?
Like,
I would argue.
Well, not really.
I mean, neither of them are in their right mind. So
no, that's it, exactly.
But that's what makes it horrible.
He's not having sex with Dana. The Keymaster is having sex with the Gatekeeper.
Yeah, but, like, that just doesn't really make any difference.
I mean, possession in any form is kind of, like, you know, like...
Yeah, I know.
That's problematic.
I mean, I'm not saying...
Before
like,
the sex.
I'm not, yeah, but, like, come on. Like, be reasonable. Like,
I am being reasonable.
No, it's okay. I don't really agree. I think that's something that you could point to and say, yeah, that's not ideal. That's not ideal. I mean, it's this kind of, like, it's not worth getting into it. Everyone knows it's a fucking movie. It doesn't matter. I just feel like it's worth highlighting, that's all. It's kind of... I just hit him.
Just, yeah, shut up.
Dan Aykroyd is, like, really chubby looking. He's got a little chubby cheeks.
Yeah, he's a bit chubbier now.
In this scene, he looks quite a lot like the cartoon version of him, actually.
There is, actually, yeah. There's a sort of element of that. Yep.
I can see myself going into a big... I feel like I'm going to just dial back a bit. I don't mean to undermine your position on the possession thing. I apologise for that. I don't want to have an argument on the fucking commentary.
Oh, that's...
I think it's more problematic than you think it is, but that doesn't mean I'm right or whatever, you know. It's just an opinion.
Okay.
We good? We cool?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think if Lewis knowingly had sex with a possessed Dana and he was not possessed, that would be
more problematic, for sure. Yeah. It's really funny that they just have the blueprints. Like,
yo, how did they get those? No, never mind. don't ever think.
Ivo Shandor mentioned like once briefly, and then
yeah,
it becomes
a whole thing.
And,
yeah,
like, yeah. Because they're like, look,
bruh.
See,
bruh.
Yeah, fucking sucks, man. What a fucking shit movie.
Yeah,
I'm never
really
doing a commentary on that.
Oh, that's and it's just like,
I don't think I want to watch it again to do that.
No, that's absolutely fair.
You know,
I don't even want to watch it again. You know, approaching Frozen Empire.
Yeah. You know, it's just occurred to me, I don't think I actually have Ghostbusters on Blu-ray.
Really?
I should really resolve that.
Yeah, you probably should.
I must do, because I've got Answer the Call. There's no way I would just have Answer the Call.
Well, you might.
Yeah.
I mean, it's you.
I don't have Afterlife, even though I'm a fan. Like, as a collector fan, I still don't feel the need to buy Afterlife.
Like, because you are quite a completionist.
I am quite a completionist, yeah.
Like, now, what was it you bought for, like, a quid, and it was fucking awful.
Oh, that's a never-ending list. It could be.
It was something pure for completionist purposes.
Might be the Nightmare on Elm Street remake.
Yes, it was. Yeah. That's it. I was like, why did you buy that?
Nightmare on Elm Street, I'm a bit of a downer on at the moment, not because I bought the Blu-ray set of the seven movies, you know, and I got it home and it turned out it was the fucking DVD, and it was just like, oh, what? For fuck's sake, it's packaged exactly the same, like the almost only difference is a little DVD logo on
there. Oh, man.
And I'm kind of bummed about that, because I do not need two copies of it. The only enhanced thing is it's got that extra disc, which is like they're going through the asylum, like,
thing,
which I do want to have, but I'd rather have that on Blu-ray too.
Well, it's nice to have that as a backup for the extras, but I got the Platinum Series, like Region 1 box set that actually,
look at that outstanding composition.
That's so well done. Presumably that's a matte painting, which is fucking great. Yeah.
I got to say it, but I like the sexual nature of, you know, she's sitting there with the legs parted and you've got the huge opening in the back. All the pink. it's good, yeah.
It's vaginal, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, vaginal.
It's vaginal, yeah. Yeah,
it's deeply vaginal.
Yeah. And that's, she has quite the shoulder. It's really robust.
She really does.
Yeah.
But I love how, although they are not the same people because they're possessed, there's still element, like, the sort of submissive nature of Lewis there still slightly comes through when he's the keymaster. It's funny. He's still funny, the whole time. Yeah.
I'm sorry, I'm going quiet because I'm just appreciating so much of it. I think this movie sings at night sequences, but this, I'm not saying these are bad at all. I mean, this is one of the funniest parts of the movie. So,
yeah.
I almost don't want to talk over it, but it's beautifully done.
Yeah.
I like the fact that Egon is still sort of stood separate from them, in a way. It's interesting. I do wonder what they're getting at with it. Bill Murray's Venkman just laughing at him. I love that he's the one who says dickless.
Yeah.
Here we go. The way that Winston
reacts, God, stop
they did not
up.
Need to add that Winston reaction, but it just sells the friendship even more, Winston's oh, of course, that's what he said.
Right, thanks mate,
very well done,
you're really really helping.
One of the things that I feel like Ghostbusters 2 didn't do was be continuous with that. But then again, it's been so long and I don't remember it that well. Maybe I'm just wrong.
What do you mean by that?
Well, Ghostbusters 2 for me felt like the progression of the character. Oh my god, this is so silly. The progression of the characters from this movie feels to me a bit lost, and it all feels a bit more cartoonish. And
I think the relationships, the dynamic of the relationships, that there is a sort of softening of it. But I hold that to them being 5 years familiar with each other as a foursome, as opposed to where it's still as a team, they're still relatively new, even though the three guys have known each other for a long time. It's just a sense of I just take with that a sense of, you know, they're a little bit older, and they've got a bit more used to each other, and it's a bit more playful, as opposed to sort of there's a slightly serrated edge to how they engage with each other, but not to the point of being mean. But you see that a lot, I think.
Yeah.
I kind of know what you mean, but I don't really take that as a betrayal or anything.
Love Bill Murray joining on the classic. There's so many great lines in this movie. But Peck is very frequently depicted standing in front of maps, and I'm trying to figure out what that. Well, I mean, environment, I guess, but it's a choice.
Interesting.
It is a choice.
Yeah, I didn't notice that.
He's standing in front of the map, the blueprint, when they go to the firehouse. He's standing in front of the map in the mayor's office. I just, it's interesting that they do these things. I find myself thinking, what's this about?
Yeah, what's the purpose of it?
Mm. Just thoughtful fucking filmmaking, really.
It's maybe to emphasize the fact that he's quite a small man.
Yeah.
Again, sort of out of his depth.
I mean, yeah, but at the same time, bye.
Bye. I'm going to get you a nice fruit basket.
Yeah. I'm gonna miss him. It's perfectly done.
Murray's just so on point in this.
Yeah, he is, yeah. But it is interesting that he, again, it does give him some shades of grey, because he isn't really wrong. He has something.
No, yeah.
They are using this equipment.
It's fair.
But it is all nice and leading into the sort of triumphant sort of. I mean, we're going to get to it in a minute, but the way they undermine this heroic
That is my favourite scene in the entire thing.
And that's also a matte painting, which I found out recently, and it's
astonishing. Which is incredible. Yeah. But here, like, you know, as funny as it's been the whole time, it doesn't undermine.
There's that budget again.
like, engaging with the threat, it never undervalues the threat. It never makes it never becomes a spoof. Yeah. Basically,
it was something that this movie does that Frozen Empire, I think, has done wrong, is in this movie, like, the bodily harm or deaths that are being caused by these ghosts, aren't sort of front and center. Like in the last scene, the big overhead shot from Central Park.
Mm.
You see someone being loaded into an ambulance or a stretcher, but they don't dwell on that.
No.
All you know is this is bad, and people are being hurt, but it's not about the whole thing of like, oh, the last thing you ever see is your own tear ducts freezing. And it's like, what is that? Like, where's the Ghostbusters?
Yeah.
It's so funny that they're just, I mean, it makes sense. It's earned.
Do you know what? More than some other films, In terms of how they do it successfully, I think this feels like a New York film.
Yeah.
In terms of like that, New York is essentially one large neighborhood, and you get a great sense of community from this, and it feels legit. It feels sincere.
The scene where Peter lifts up Ray's arm and says, Ray stands the heart of the Ghostbusters.
That's true.
And he says, they love you. He's saying, I love you.
That's an expression of his feeling.
He's moving him from that, despite the cynicism, despite the sort of snark, he still loves these people. And I really love the way that it's
That's
mediated.
It. And he does recognize the value of them.
Yeah. Oh, it's so fucking good.
It's weird how Winston's kind of outshot in that. It's just like centered on the three of them.
I mean, I suppose it's because they are paying off like the arcs from the beginning of the movie when they
emerged. Yeah, yeah,
makes sense. Because I don't think that Winston. I've read some like criticism of like Winston being sidelined. I don't agree. The fact he turns up halfway through the movie is one thing, but I think they give him plenty of character moments.
Things
to do. Yeah.
Do you know what? Like it is.
It's just a series of sketches with no actual connection.
Fuck off. Really. Imagine having that as an actual opinion.
Yeah, I mean, no one really does.
Nobody really does. No, you're absolutely right.
You have to be a complete
The thing is, prick. This, when you see how glad the city is when they appear again, when they come out of this and you see how relieved everybody is, that really gets me. It's like, well, this isn't just a knock. It is a sort of knockabout farce, but at the same time, it's like there is more to it. It's much more substantial than that.
I do like that scene because it's so. I was never prepared for that. it's an interesting scene because you could argue incorrectly that it's a bit trite.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's kind of a microcosm for the whole thing, isn't it? That, you know, they get knocked down and get back up again.
That's it.
Keep them down.
This is it.
This is great.
This cut is the fucking.
This is perfect.
Yep.
The triumphant music.
Yeah.
The cheers.
That's it.
And then the reality. And then the fact that they're just a bunch of like approaching middle
and
lights,
sort of
like,
out of shape. Yeah.
I still can't believe that's a painting.
Yeah, that is incredible.
Yeah.
But the perspective of that shot.
Yeah.
Is that designed to look like more for us or them? Is it like, is that how many floors there actually are? Or is that a perspective shot? Like, God, it feels like a long way to go yet.
Yeah. The implication they're already quite a long way off.
Yeah, and they're a fucking knackered. Yeah. Like, they go charging in like superheroes, and then it's just like the reality of, there's a lot of stairs.
Yeah. Oh, man, look at her leg.
Look at both of them.
Yeah, Jesus Christ, she's gorgeous.
Yeah, she's very statuesque.
She really is.
Yeah.
I feel a bit of a twat just kind of every time she's on the screen, just going like, "Oh, hello." But at the same time, I'm not going to pretend that I don't think she's.
I think it would be bad to not acknowledge the inherent beauty of Sigourney Weaver.
Well, it's like when I was watching Trading Places, and notably Floor 22 when they're the first the first room in the Sedgwick was 2216. Yeah. That's curious. Don't know what that means. Probably nothing.
Ooh. It's near the number 23, though, isn't
shit,
it?
Jim Carrey.
Oh, shit.
Here comes Carrey.
Yep.
Him talking out of his ass with his...
Yeah, foreshadowing of Carrey.
Oh, yep. God. Gotta say, sorry, but having grown up in the 90s, as a kid in the 90s, I love Jim Carrey.
fair enough.
Yep. I love the guy. No, he's part of my childhood, mate. Bad movies with Jim Carrey and like Liar Liar, absolutely love it.
Yeah,
I'd watch it over.
Well, he's my like adolescence, so you know, there's a
love
similar sort of meaning.
Both Ventures, love them. Don't care that they're problematic.
When Nature Calls is fucking awful, though. I find that nearly unwatchable.
I disagree.
Borderline
I like
unwatchable.
The fact that it leans into just pure idiocy, but the fact is, it's directed by the same guy who did Kung Pao. So
that makes sense then. Yep.
I bet that's a matte painting as well.
They go up. It's like, it's so... It's so needless.
Yeah. I like the fact that Peter isn't being pushed in front now. He's willingly walking in and going, come on, everyone, follow me.
Right,
follow me.
Okay. He's in. Yeah.
It's an interesting... development for the character.
And he's not...
Look at that.
The slouchy sort of, like, half-hearted... No, he's not doing that anymore.
He's just found this lease of life.
Yeah.
This group.
Like, what they're doing is not only legit, but it's important, and now they've got to really step up. Which, you know, we get a great moment in the end when the four of them step up.
Yeah, heat them up. Yeah.
It's like actual fucking goosebumps, though, you know?
Oh, shit. That's cool.
Yeah.
That holds up, I think.
Yeah, I think it does. I think there's so much of this that holds up.
The claymation looking like stop motion.
Oh, cool. Yeah. But okay, again,
so she's a dog. That's incredible.
Look at that.
Yeah, I'd love to know how they
there's the that. The four of them silhouetted against that.
Yeah.
Is a fucking outstanding shot.
I mean, that shot there... probably not that expensive to realise, and they made a great deal of it.
No, probably not. I mean, they really did utilise the money. Like, there's nothing of excess in this.
Agreed. Strongly agreed. One thing that I like about it as one...
That
as a,
shot there.
Yeah,
look at that.
It's perfect.
That's perfectly framed.
Yeah. One thing that I'm very fond of is the way that they... Of course, Afterlife fucks this, but I like the way that they don't really explain Zool at all.
No.
Like, she's just this unknowable entity.
Mm.
And that works for me.
Yeah.
Because you don't need the backstory. All you know is...
Oh, you mean Gozer?
Gozer, sorry. They don't explain the backstory at all. And then, of course, Afterlife fucks it.
Yeah. Sorry, they're coming back to go get her, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think I've noticed in 4K for the first time is I'm fairly sure that you can see Gozer's nips. That's surprising.
Let's have a look.
Might be mistaken.
You can see Aykroyd's nips. No, you can't. No.
Might be wishful thinking.
Yeah.
That's so good. Him just rattling through this fucking...
Which, of course, they fuck in Afterlife as well. Yeah.
And then Bill's reaction to that.
God.
Yep, go on. Tell her you are.
And then you get the brilliant kiss off line. I know, you can't see any lips.
Ray's too sincere to follow through on it.
This is great. Look at that.
Yeah. That's great.
Bill, probably my favourite line of the movie is Bill's response to this. I keep calling him Bill. You know, Peter Venkman.
Yeah, Peter.
His response to this is just perfect. That's a fantastic shot as well. Obviously it's a painting, but you get the sense of the vertigo.
Wow.
Yeah. Here we go. Let me just enjoy this bit. Oh, it's Winston who says it. I'm being an idiot.
Peter's so follow-up funny. Line is great as well.
Yeah.
And he is pissed. Yeah. This, here we go. Goosebumps.
Yeah, it's perfect. Step on up.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Unison, like they are a team now.
Yeah.
And everything is, everything is almost choreographed.
Yeah.
You know, like they are fully in sync now.
Well, they know it's awesome.
Yeah.
Right? The filmmakers know this.
That's awesome. It. Like, as funny as they are legit. Fucking badass.
Who plays Gozer?
I don't. It was some model. Oh, right, I can't remember her name, but like, she might have been an athlete or a ballerina or something. It was definitely about the physical movement.
I like that shot of the legs landing. That's very sexual. That's the,
yeah.
There's a lot of that in this movie, but that's probably a relic. Oh, look at that.
And I love that. And she's just gone.
Yeah. Here we go.
Man.
Here we go, lads. Look at his face lighting up.
He's so chuffed with himself.
God, this is a fucking great movie. Neutralized it.
Yeah, Egon, look at him. Yeah. He's the only one not like, nah, this
once
isn't
again,
over.
He's in profile.
I noticed that. Yeah, very good.
This is like hour 50, this movie. Just under 2 hours.
Yeah.
And it feels like we've just started it.
Because it's been so breezy.
Mm-hmm.
There's not weight.
No fat on it at all.
No, there's no fat, but there's no weight.
No.
But at the same time, like, it's not a heavy experience to go through it, but the stakes do still mean something. Yeah. And I think that is something that a lot of films struggle with now.
What I dig big time, they obviously have thought about this lore.
Yeah.
But we don't need to know it.
No.
But the fact that they clearly do know it is what makes it work. Because you believe absolutely that
there's
some logic to it.
I think they have... But it's not like surface level lore. They have clearly deep dived this to know. Like, if you were to ask them more, they could give you more.
Yeah.
So that they know that it's got that structure, it's got substance. Yeah. But they don't present
it's
it all.
Facial.
Oh man.
This is so brilliant. This is brilliant.
Nobody choosed anything. And look at him.
Yeah, he's like a lost puppy.
Oh,
everyone
Ray.
Looks at him, it's brilliant.
He is the heart of the Ghostbusters.
Yeah, he is, yeah.
Oh, Ray. And
this is so good. This, the deadpan drop of it is what makes it before you get the full reveal.
It's brilliant. It's like, what am I looking at here? Yeah. Like, what is that?
I mean, it's creepy. Like,
yeah, it is creepy.
Creepy.
The movements of it are creepy.
Perfect.
Look how great looks, man.
Yeah. Looks better than the Roland Emmerich from Godzilla.
Well, that's not difficult. Notice it's not raining in this shot, which he used to cover up a lot of the shit effects.
Yeah, he did, yeah.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, I loved that movie.
Yeah,
I thought it was fucking awesome.
Yeah.
What about you?
No.
Not even when you were younger?
No. Mm. I was so hyped for that film, and I went to see it, like, opening weekend at the cinema, and I was like, well, that was cock.
I really enjoyed it at the time. I think it's because I like the music in it and stuff.
It's
Yeah. Just a sweet tough marshmallow, man.
it would have to be something for his childhood, wouldn't it? This is a great line. Yeah.
That's a fantastic shot as well.
That's a fucking great shot, yeah. The fucking, the hydrant.
Yeah.
The spray from the hydrant coming up. Brilliant.
Oh, I'm just take.
What does that even mean?
I guess you can't say motherfucker.
Yeah, I suppose, yeah.
That was Peck.
Yeah, it was.
I never noticed that before. I didn't realise that. I was looking at the marshmallow man. Oh, the face is so good.
Oh, yeah. Oh, like,
the contorted face.
That is the Chucky contortion,
is.
Isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
You stupid bust, you filthy...
You stupid bitch, you filthy puffed.
Oh, teach you to bust me.
Quite pleased with you, filthy puffed. This is a great bit.
Yeah.
Mother, pus bucket.
And this, yeah, fuck.
In that scene, like, I'm just gonna say it.
Yeah.
He sounds so much like Lorenzo Music.
I
think so, yeah. Excuse me, Egan. I mean, I think Lorenzo was great as Franklin.
He was brilliant.
I was Garfield as well.
No, loved his voice. He was brilliant at
that. I'm just going to say, I think the Garfield in Friends was really fucking good.
I loved it.
Yeah.
Do you know what? This is...
Gee, looks like you blew it!
The sincerity in this little thing, this little line here.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, man! Great. Yeah,
fuck. And his little smile as well. Yeah, his confidence.
Well, that's it. Like they're going out like heroes, you know. And it's cool. It's just
oh my god, the Stay Puft looming behind them is terrifying.
Fucking hell!
God, I don't think I've ever even noticed that before because I was always looking at the proton.
Yeah. He's behind them, but he's there. Right, he's just like, yep.
Touching dicks, basically.
But basically.
Oh, look at that. Man's outstanding. Whoa. That's so cool.
You think that was... I think that was miniatures.
It must have been. I mean,
yeah, but it just looks... Like, they really got the scale right. Yeah. There's nothing that looks, abnormal about it.
Completely satisfying.
This is fucking satisfying as well.
Dump him. Yeah.
Get your own back.
Yeah.
Look at just how instantly that clears, and you're just in a sort of typical
bottom
New York
left, Trauma team logo. Sorry, that wasn't the Trauma logo at all. They look a bit like
product
Trauma,
placement.
Product placement for fire.
By Trauma Cola. What the fuck?
Yeah, this. Oh, so good.
Oh man. And racism has been solved because they're all
white. Yeah. Everybody's white.
Yeah.
And so people are like, hooray, racism is solved. And there's some one guy going like, it's a little way.
Everybody looks the same.
Oh, gee, I guess there is no difference between us after all.
No, but look at the disparity. Like, they are caked in it, and he comes out.
Absolutely, like smelling roses.
Yeah,
it's a callback to him always getting slimed, right?
Like, yeah, yeah.
And then this time it's everyone else, and he's basically nothing.
Yeah,
it's just all very thoughtful.
Yeah, there isn't, as I say, nobody was asleep on this. Like they really did. It is very carefully thought out. There's a lot of care.
Yeah, and this too, like just beautifully done. I think
that's a great just like.
Yeah.
Oh man. Like every all the snark and everything is just gone.
Yeah.
At that point, you know, there are layers to Venkman. He's not one note. None of them are one note characters.
Oh, so good.
But again, like when you look at how well this is done,
yeah,
it's difficult with hindsight to go, how do you follow this up? How do you do something this good again?
Yeah.
You know?
Well, they simply didn't.
Well, this is it, but it's like, what are they... It would be almost impossible to pull this off again.
Would it be funny if they just, like, left Lewis? Just
that would be funny, just stumbling around with their head on. Check out the little guy. Yeah.
It's nice that it is affectionate, isn't it?
Like, oh no, there's nothing harmful in it. No, it's very affectionate. It's very warm. I think that's what's missing from a lot of films is like genuine warmth.
Yes, agreed. Strongly agreed.
But that carries a lot in the composition, in the photography, and the lighting and stuff. Like,
it's because like Jesus, this is going to sound so fucking snobbish, but it's because there aren't any real filmmakers anymore.
To some extent, that's true.
We've got Spielberg, you know.
Scorsese's still going.
I'm sorry, you're not going to like this, but we've got Tarantino.
I acknowledge that his films look like something, at least. I mean, fucking hell.
And other than them, like, it's hard to think who is left.
Yeah.
You know, because the up and comers, like, they ain't filmmakers. They're just directors.
No. Yeah, and no, it's that is true. That is very true.
I mean, you get people praising, like, people like the fucking Russo brothers who've never made a good-looking film in their life.
No, I mean, that's...
And I like Civil War.
Yeah.
You know, I liked Endgame well enough, Infinity War,
yeah.
But they're not this, are they?
They're not, no.
Yeah.
There's a fucking gulf between them.
I was just like, yeah, sure, why not?
Yeah, go on then.
I mean, it's an interesting and, I think, good choice to just have the credits kind of partially play out over this.
Yeah.
Because the suggestion of, like, this isn't over. Like, this is still a thing. Yeah. And they're still going.
Yeah.
That you don't get the old school Trading Places style look at the camera.
No. And they do that in Predator as well, where everybody looks at the camera.
It's nice to see him smile. You're very rich. Yeah. Hello, he goes.
It's a nice little cap off.
Written around, that's lovely, isn't it?
No. Just come on. Just fuck off.
I don't want to go in there in the car.
Well, he does get his wish eventually.
Yeah, he does, yeah. I am glad that the
second... Look at that. Now, I like that little shot. Like,
yeah.
Egon's not above just helping him get the equipment off, you know? They are a team.
These crowd mob scenes, they just seem very, very well done.
Yeah.
To me. They came to see the mob scenes.
Oh, wow. Like, you remember when, you know, director of photography actually meant something. I mean,
the thing is, I said it's snobbish, but what else can you say? Like, even a movie like this, probably the most commercial possible movie that you could make, still had a handle on being worthwhile art.
Yeah.
And I, a lot of people will... I love that. Just like, look, New York, baby.
Hey! You see, that carries much more weight, I think, than... And I know I've gone on about this, but, like, that bit in Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Where it's like...
You mess with one of us, you mess with all of us.
Yeah. I'm like, there was... it's...
See, I do respect your reaction to that. I'm very fond of that, because to me, that's extremely 60s comic book sort of feel.
Which is fair, because it is a very 60s comic book film.
But you know, this is one of the few films, or one of the films that me and you differ on very greatly, is that Arias is...
I wonder if he's going to be a toy.
Before, imagine if it mental if it was a girl one, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
You know, what I was going to say is, like... this slime is a fucking Doris.
What?
Slime her.
Mary Soomler. No, what?
But no.
No, never mind.
I was going to say something, I can't remember what it was. I had Spider-Man 2. That's probably one of the films we have the most differing views on.
I think so,
because for
me,
it is the absolute model of what I want a Spider-Man movie to be, and to be honest, what I want commercial blockbuster movie to be.
Mm.
Whereas to you, it isn't, and I respect where you're coming from. I think you have valid points.
Yeah.
But to me, it's just the opposite. And I think, but Ghostbusters, we're pretty much like...
Well, oh yeah, no, we're that's...
It's two where we differ, but that's why I want to do a commentary for it, because I think
that would be interesting.
I think I'll learn a lot from that.
Yeah.
But no, that ruled, obviously. I hope that there was something to draw from this that wasn't just us going, wow, this is great.
Well, no, we didn't get into, here's a quote. You know, this is full of quotable lines. And we didn't do that.
Only a tiny bit.
But I think if we were to do a collective, like, Ken and Stu top 10, I think this would have to feature somewhere.
It's one of the ones that we
absolutely agree.
If it was not in my top 10, it would be in my top 20 for sure.
Yeah.
I'm reasonably sure it probably is in my top 10. Like, it's hard for me to think of films that wouldn't be there.
Yeah, if we did a list of things that we absolutely agree on, like, there's no disparity between how we feel about it, this would feature.
I mean, the whole reason why the Ken and Stu show exists is to give us an excuse to talk about films and sort of deepen the bond there, I think. And we do occasionally bounce off each other there's an actual, like, rift of sorts there.
Yeah.
And it's nice to talk that shit over, really. I enjoy doing this. I'd like to do more commentaries. I think they're fun.
I think it's nice to do one that is, like, wholly positive.
I don't really want to do any that are sort of negative. And going into Ghostbusters 2, I'm not going to be going, that's shit.
It would be interesting, I think, if we did a full-length one of one that we are, like, completely diverse on, to actually, construct points on Like, how have we got this disparity? Yeah. Like, how far apart are we, and can we justify it to each other?
I think, like, we're not tooting our own cocks, but I think we're both receptive to change to each other and going, like, oh, actually, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Well, that changes the way I think about this. Because, I mean, there have been times when you've had a negative view of a film that I've listened to and then gone, oh, actually, I agree with you, but that film's gone down in my estimations. And I think it's the other way around as well. Like, I think you've not liked something, and I've said, oh, what about this and this? And
you've gone, yeah. I'll be very interested to go back to Scream 3, because you, like, when we talked about it on the horror pod, you absolutely validated that for me. And I'm going to reappraise that.
I think Scream 3 has enough going on in the subtext to make it worthwhile, and I think it's very funny. I think that the finale, the confrontation, is the best scene in the entire franchise. Like,
really?
I think it's brilliant. I think it's so funny, Sydney just losing her rag and shouting at the fucking...
Oh, I mean, it's earned. It's absolutely earned. Yeah.
I still haven't seen the newest Scream. 6, isn't it?
I wouldn't rush to,
I probably will watch it, but
I'm sure you will. You probably get a little bit out of it, but yeah, I was not a massive fan. But no, you justified its existence to me and the way it does something, and you basically sort of summed it up in one line, because my whole complaint was you know, it's not about the larger horror field anymore. And you said, well, the only thing going on in horror is Scream at that point. And I went, oh, yeah, that's actually a really fucking valid point.
I can sometimes be all right.
I think you're very good at coming from a perspective that I don't consider sometimes. Like,
I'm going to hug you now.
Okay.
I love you, man.
love you too, man.
Well, I think this is why this is fun.
Yeah.
You know, that's why this is fun.
But this was really, I mean, it's always good to put this on, but it was just really nice sitting through and sort of unpicking, like, why... Yeah. Everything about this is brilliant, really.
Yeah, and Ivan Reitman, of course, went on to direct the absolutely outstanding Year One.
Which will be the next commentary.
Yeah.
So here we are at Year One.
We're going to kill ourselves. Yeah. No, let's wrap this up. Thanks very much for listening.
Thank you for listening.
See you probably for Ghostbusters 2 or something.
I'm sure.
Yeah.